Good morning. We have a major breaking news story this morning. It is that the Nolan Show has a leaked document which shows the finance minister warning of a potential, wait for this, £2.8 billion black hole in government funding here. It's her direst warning yet about a meltdown at Stormont, and we have the leaked document in our hand. And what we're going to do during the course of this programme is spell out to you in Northern Ireland what this document is suggesting will happen. So here is what has happened so far over the last few hours. The DUP Finance Minister, Arlene Foster, has circulated this stark document to ministerial colleagues. Very few people have it. We have a copy of it. It's all about a massive fallout if Stormont cannot agree on welfare reform. Now, you know that this programme has been banging on about the possibilities, the eventualities of where this can all lead to if they don't strike a deal. And Tuesday is D-Day for that, is deadline day for that. This memo, and we're calling it the doomsday document, it paints a nightmare scenario of a senior civil servant imposing a budget with a £2.8 billion shortfall in Northern Ireland. What would that mean? Why should this interest you this morning if you're not into your politics but you actually care about how your life is run in this country? Well, government services, public services in Northern Ireland would be unsustainable. Bottom line, here are some of the headline points. In the first instance, Arlene Foster says failure to agree welfare reform would mean £600 million of pressures facing the executive. That's what she's calling grave financial difficulties. So that's £600 million alone the DUP would not run with. They said they would not implement that. That's because of welfare penalties, the £600 million, the loss of spending power the Stormont House Agreement would have brought. For example, funding for public sector voluntary redundancies. In short, £600 million pressures would mean serious cuts facing all of the departments that deliver all of your services this year. Health, education, justice. Now, in those three departments alone, think about it, health. Imagine taking hundreds of millions of pounds already out of a stretched health service. Imagine when your kids are going to school or the buildings in school, the infrastructure, the support teachers. Imagine taking millions, tens of millions of pounds out of the education service. Now, the DUP, they have already publicly said that this is not acceptable and they will not be agreeing a budget carve-up of this nature. So what would happen then? And that's why this is a major story this morning. Well, Plan B would mean after the DUP would do what they've publicly said they would do, which is that they would not bring in these £600 million worth of cuts. They would not stand over it. There would be no budget agreement at Stormont. What would then happen? The Department of Finance, their permanent secretary, he would have to step in. He has a legal duty to intervene. And what would he do? Well, he would have to impose a budget based on a severely reduced version of last year's budget. Now, at this stage, it starts to get the gobbledygook, right? And the majority of us won't understand this. Here's the bit we will understand. If that guy, the permanent secretary for the Department of Finance, if he steps in, then £2.8 billion is being taken out of public services in Northern Ireland, according to this memo. Now, let me say that again. If this guy steps in, the Permanent Secretary of Northern Ireland, for the Department of Finance, £2.8 billion, according to this memo, which ministers are probably just waking up to, they're probably just reading it now, £2.8 billion comes out of public services. And when I look at this document, let me just share with you some of the figures as to what this would mean, because this is Arlene Foster spelling out even on the £600 million figure. So let's go back to it's not £2.8 billion, it's £600 million, the first stage, which the DUP are refusing to implement. That would mean, for example, if it was spread across the departments equally, that would mean £279 million coming out of the health budget. So in one fell swoop, unsustainable, the health service, it couldn't function as it currently is with 279 million pounds taken out of it. And then when you look at that 2.8 billion pounds figure, it gets so ridiculously scary that we need to ask the political parties this morning, what are they going to do about this? So we are chasing the DUP. They have a responsibility this morning to tell us what way is this country going to function? What is their plan? To Sinn Féin this morning, what is their plan? And to the SDLP, who play a critical role now in this, what way are they going to vote on the budget, on the welfare reform bill next Tuesday? Will they help Sinn Féin block it or not? Now, on the line to talk through this, the commentator Seamus Close, the political editor of the Belfast Telegraph, Liam Clark. Morning to you, Seamus.
Good morning, Stephen.
Morning. Good morning to you, Liam.
Hiya, Stephen.
Well, I've tried to spell out there, just in a very short summary, what is facing this country. Tuesday is D-Day, Seamus. Listen to those figures. They are astonishing.
Yeah, they are astonishing. And there, whilst there is a degree of reality with them, I think there's also a large degree, a large dose of scaremongering within them. If you look at 2.8 billion, and this is the first time I've heard this figure, 2.8 million is approximately 25% of the block grant. And that, I think, ties back to the line that you were using, that if there's failure in agreeing a budget, then the Permanent Secretary of the Department of Finance has got to step in. As I understand the rules, he can only spend, and I think it's 75% of last year's annual spend. So that figure ties in.
According to this document, it's 95% less accruals coming in. But the Department of Finance, it's not ministers that have collated these figures, Seamus. It's the Department of Finance. That's what's important.
Yes,
and according to these figures, if that permanent secretary steps in, if it gets to that stage, 2.8 billion of a shortfall.
But that would be within a financial year. And our financial year started back in at the beginning of April. So there's part of it is gone already. And we're looking at the rest of this financial year. The 600 million is somewhat easier to get your head around, in that that comes about through the fines for welfare reform, 114 million they're talking about. I also saw a figure recently of some £57 million of interest payments on loans that were taken out. And if you go back to the Stormont House Agreement, in fact, go back before that, you'll find that back in October, the executive notified the Treasury that it couldn't work within its figures for 2014-15. And they sought a facility of something like 100, 125 million.
Yeah,
at that time, the Chancellor told them, yes, I will allow you to have that facility, but that has got to be paid back in the year 2015-16.
Well,
and then when you link into that all the other bits and pieces of Stormont House, this is where the 600 million black hole comes
well,
from.
Well, Liam Clark, if we then look, because within this official document, which has been leaked to this programme, that the ministers now have, Liam, it actually spells out in a table the scenario if the permanent secretary has to step in, this 2.8 billion, how that would reflect into the different departments, Liam. Now, the reality is it wouldn't come to that because everything would collapse, right? But look at these figures. The Department of Agriculture Regional Development, DARD, 300 million pounds taken out of their budget. Department of Education and Learning, 112 million taken out of their budget. DHSSPS, 645 million taken out of their budget, Liam.
Well, we're clearly in an impossible situation. And I mean, the basis of this, Stephen, and sometimes it's so obvious that we need to restate it, is that Northern Ireland doesn't take in as much money in taxation as it pays out in benefits, health service and other things. Now, Scotland's different than us. They possibly do take in as much or very nearly as much. So no matter how we cut this, if we have to reduce our spending. If Britain don't give us enough, if they don't give us the same top up, we've got to reduce. And there's really no way of dodging that. And all these documents that come out are really different ways of putting that ugly reality that if your money's reduced, you must reduce your spending.
So the bottom line is Stormont could collapse over this, Liam. Ministers will resign and we will head to an election.
Well, I think that's what would happen if the minister, the Northern Ireland office's preferred option, I interviewed the Secretary of State about this about a week ago or so, is obviously to get welfare reform implemented. But if that can't happen, then the civil servants come in, and that will give the, I presume she thinks that will maybe sweat down the local ministers. You'd nearly die of shame being handed your budget by a civil servant and saying this is what you can spend it on just after you got an 11% pay rise.
Or the alternative is that Teresa Villiers steps in, takes the welfare powers, Liam, and imposes them. And if that happens, that means that any of the concessions, any of the dealing that has been done, that goes away, and she imposes the welfare changes that similar, well, exactly identical to what they are across the rest of the UK.
Well, you could do it two ways. You could
bedroom tax and all.
You could describe. You could do it as you describe. Now, the British government's position at present is that they won't take back the powers. That this is a problem for the local parties to sort out between them. Obviously, in negotiations, all positions like that could change. But one, she could take it back, and we would get all the welfare cuts that the rest of the country, the rest of the UK, have got. I mean, Scotland have already put these through. So have Wales. And we could. The other thing she could do is she could legislate, as they did for Scotland, that the welfare reforms would go through, but that the local assembly would have a right to top them up to the extent that they wished. Now, she could do that, and we could still keep in the top-ups then. But the problem is we have to take the top-ups out of other budgets, and we're going to get more cuts coming in the after the next Westminster
budget.
How
would Sinn Féin react, though?
So, it's going to get worse and worse for Sinn Féin.
How would Sinn Féin react if Teresa Villiers was to step in and impose welfare reform above their head?
Well, you've got to ask Sinn Féin. I mean, I don't know what Sinn Féin's posture in this is. I mean, they argue that the $10 billion that we're told we could subsidise from Britain, it isn't quite $10 billion, but they don't give us the exact figures. Is it 7? Is it 8? Is it 9? So they don't engage at that sort of granular level. They just engage at the level of principle that we want people to be paid. And eventually that argument runs out of road because you have to find the money somewhere. The parties here aren't willing to raise taxes to charge water rates or anything like that. They don't like making cuts either. So, I mean, that's a very difficult situation.
So there will be accusations of scaremongering and all this type of stuff. But there's no doubt, Seamus Close, that Tuesday is a massive day for this country, for the existence of the Assembly alone.
It is a huge day, and I mean, the word crisis has been bandied about over years in this place, but I think that this really is a real crisis. And to go back to the points that you were making with Liam, whether or not are the views of Sinn Féin could very well turn around, this is a cynic within me, and say, well, there you are, it's Westminster, it's not our fault, Gov, we did our best, now, and we just get on with it. An election, let's face it, solves absolutely nothing. We have a mandatory coalition, the same parties would be back, they might jigger around with what portfolios to take, but it'll be the same faces, the same crisis.
So,
bottom line is, we are spending, we are living beyond our means. There is no agreement. There's no proper agreed programme for government. Remember, back last November when there were budget cuts, I think it was about 200 million, 60% of the parties in the executive, 60% of the parties in the executive did not agree those cuts. So you cannot run a government unless you've got a programme, a budget that is agreed by all.
Let's also look at how crucial, all of a sudden, the SDLP are in this country. Here's what happens on Tuesday. Sinn Féin, unless there's a late deal, all right? And no doubt they're trying to hammer out a deal over the next couple of days. Let's see. But Sinn Féin, as we stand, they're going to oppose the welfare bill on Tuesday, and they're going to try to block it through using a petition of concern. But they can only do that. They don't have enough numbers on their own. So they can only do that if they get support from outside its ranks to make that petition of concern actually work. And that means that the STLP could have a vital say on what happens in this country, and they could have that say on Tuesday. That's how pivotal, all of a sudden, Liam Clark, the STLP are here.
It is. Well, you know, they might get the support of the Green Party as well.
That's one.
Yeah,
it's not enough.
One, but they still need another, so they still need at least one SDLP. I can't see any of the other independents supporting them. Yeah, I mean, we are down to a real crisis here, and it's the most likely way out of it is probably that Westminster takes the powers back. And but that's a very bad way out, because then what happens when we hit the next bump in the road? Do we hand them back to Westminster? I mean, these are politicians who've been elected to a devolved assembly. You think in the case of Sinn Féin, these are Republicans who want to exercise power and take it away from Britain, who want power to be exercised in Ireland. But then if they actually go handing powers back because they can't make an economic decision, then they don't look fit for government. And that's bound to, in the case of Sinn Féin, that's bound to have an effect in the South. And the DUP will say that they're the ones who are doing the correct thing here. Sinn Féin are the ones who must blink. And there's some truth in that. Sinn Féin are making an argument that's very hard to sustain. But we've got to remember that this all has a background in the lack of trust between the two parties going back years, and the violent language they used to each other. So, you know, we would need, even if we did get over this, we would need a change in relationships in the Assembly, or we'll be back at this point again.
Well, if you want to react to this morning, 08459 555 678. And I know that lots of this, you know, sometimes when we get into the political minutiae of stuff, it can be boring, right? But there's nothing boring about what we're saying today, because this completely, absolutely is one of these stories that directly affects your life. Benefit claimants in Northern Ireland will see welfare reform in its total form as it's being imposed throughout the rest of the UK, imposed here in Northern Ireland if the Secretary of State takes back those powers. And that is a very real scenario that we are looking at right now, if these parties cannot agree. If the Permanent Secretary for the Department of Finance is forced to take that budget, watch how the health service is unsustainable. Watch how the Department of Education is unsustainable based on those figures. These are mind-blowing figures. 08459 555 678. What are we doing as a team? We're chasing, I'm sure some of the politicians won't like the fact that we have this, we are chasing Sinn Féin for a response. So far, they're saying they will not come on the radio. Sinn Féin need to publicly say this morning what they are now going to do, based with these figures that's just been put into their hand over recent hours. What is Sinn Féin going to do? We are chasing the DUP. What are they going to do? Because they have a responsibility here to try to square the circle, to try to find some type of agreement. What is the DUP currently doing this morning? It would be great if they could put someone up. Stuart Dixon from the Alliance Party, the Ulster Unionists were chasing as well, and the SDLP, who now hold the deck of cards in their hand. What way are they going to vote on Tuesday? And can a representative stand up and publicly reassure citizens of this country what they're going to do? They vote down this bill, they know the ramifications. Stuart Dixon, Alliance Party. Liam Clark's just described this as a real crisis.
Well, I think Liam Clark's absolutely right. And it really does point to what is at stake here. What is at stake here is not only the very future of the institution at Stormont. Imperfect though it is, we have the ability to deliver for all of the people in Northern Ireland within the financial limits that are given to us by London. We don't have any more resource. Now, as a party, I think we should perhaps be raising some more money internally in Northern Ireland on rates, on water, on prescriptions and other things. But even if we were to do that, it wouldn't come near what is actually required to close this gap. This gap can only be closed by a proper and sensible implementation of welfare reform, Stephen. We started out with the pure Tory welfare reform proposals several years ago.
Sinn Féin will say that's you letting down the vulnerable, not making a stand. Sinn Féin will say to every other party in Northern Ireland, stand with us, fight the nasty Tory party.
Well, yeah, but they won the election. What bit of that do they not understand? And the reality is, letting down the poor and the vulnerable, no. That blame lies fairly and squarely at the door of Sinn Féin. Because if we hit the wall on this budget crisis, let's be absolutely clear about this, Stephen. The vulnerable who have been protected by the negotiations that we've done in respect of welfare reform, will not only see all of that swept away, but they will see job services, the health service, all the justice system, all of the very basic essentials of life in Northern Ireland that do day and daily protect the vulnerable, they will be swept away to a point where we will have real serious problems. We will have people sleeping on the streets. We will have more soup kitchens. We will have a need for more food banks.
Well, that's very strong language. People sleeping on the streets.
No, it's not strong language. That's the reality of the absolute, complete.
Is this scare tactics from you now? People sleeping on the streets.
No, Stephen, let's be clear. That is the result of the dereliction of Sinn Féin when it comes to this budget. They are not prepared to get into the detail of what's happening. This afternoon, I'm meeting with officials from DSD. The minister has brought forward even further proposals to try and work our way through welfare reform. I'm going to sit and listen and talk and negotiate with those officials to see how see if there's what we can do to mitigate to welfare
This is
reform.
The minister, Arlene Fossey, you're talking about this morning. And all I would say to you, Arlene, this morning, publicly, is for goodness sake, come on this programme this morning, please, and spell out to people what actually these figures mean. Because yes, this is a document which you know, it's your job to circulate it around the ministers, but actually this is affecting the public now. So there needs to be politicians engaging with the public today, not hiding from the public. Sinn Féin, where are you this morning telling your electorate what you're going to do if indeed, you know, 95 million is taken out of the Department of Justice. If indeed 645 million pounds is taken out of the Department of Health. So we would urge Sinn Féin this morning to come on and talk about a strategy in this country. This isn't about flags, you see. This isn't about territory. This isn't about orange and green. This is about something that affects every citizen in Northern Ireland. And the SDLP, we need you on the radio this morning to hear that you have a coherent plan. Michael, good morning, Michael. First call of the day.
Good morning, Stephen. And I really think we need to start being very real about this. The real problem here, the elephant in the room, is the financial coup d'etat delivered by the Tory government, taking out $1.5 billion from the economy here and expecting that that was going to be capable of being managed. That's the real problem. And I think that...
So what do we do about it?
Well, what I think we do about it is, first of all, people who are seriously interested, the community sector, the trade union movement, the political parties, and individuals in political parties along with citizens stand up and say, we're not taking this. We're absolutely not taking this. That's the reality. And let's start looking for solutions which are island-wide. It's absolutely ridiculous that 45 minutes down the road, you have a parallel health system, a parallel policing system, parallel transport structure, etc., etc. The north of Ireland is an economic basket case which is at the whim of the British government. And I, for one, am sick, sore and tired of being at the back end of everything. $100 billion they're prepared to spend on Trident, and they won't give us $1.5 billion on whatever else is required to create a state here which is worthy of its citizens.
Sir Dixon from the Alliance Party just said they just won the election. What bit of that do you not understand?
Well, nobody that I know in the north of Ireland voted for Tory cuts. That's the bit I understand. I have absolutely no influence on what English, Scottish or Welsh
people. Whether you like it or not, you're part of the UK state.
Well, I mean, I obviously place my vote to disagree with that, and for the reasons that are becoming patently obvious, that the Tory-led government, and indeed maybe the Labour Party, wouldn't have done any favours to the citizens of this part of Ireland. I would also suggest that the people of Scotland have a similar view. There's an absolute realignment coming within their so-called UK, and it's sad that the UP cannot, with the rest of us, stand up and start looking for benefits.
Our economics and business editor, John Campbell, is listening to this morning. John, and I know that you won't have had these figures for too long, but what's your initial analysis?
Well, if you look at the first set of figures, the 600 million, the result of not implementing Stormont House, you could say that under that scenario, it would be just about possible for an executive and the public services to stagger on and to make those cuts in a year. It would be incredibly difficult.
But the DUP have said they won't do it.
Involve a lot of pain, indeed. But then if you move to the second set of numbers, the scenario in which the civil servants take control and they impose this 95% budget plus other deductions, which, as Seamus Close said, would wipe about a third of the block grant away, under that situation, it would be impossible. I don't see how you could run public services in that scenario.
Well, ministers would resign, John. They'd have to resign.
It would have to come down, because I doubt that anybody under that situation would say, we'll attempt to do this. And because you just wouldn't be able to deliver a minimum standard of services in virtually anything. Now, the most ironic part of all of this is, under both those scenarios, the one area of government which wouldn't be affected would be the welfare and social security budget, because it comes out of a different budget line and is administered in a different way. So while all the other services would be affected, welfare payments, pension payments, all those sorts of things, they would be absolutely fine.
So there are two options here, John. It seems to me there are two options in front of us here. If we go down the doomsday line, it's either that Theresa Villars steps in, option one, or there's an election. If there's an election, nothing's solved.
Yes, it all comes back to the issue of welfare reform and how that is to be tackled. Because I think, as you were saying to your last caller there, the fact of the matter is the Conservatives are in the driving seat. They have a mandate for smaller government, for more cuts, for less state spending. That's the reality of the situation, which everybody has to engage with. So you're not going to get any more money out of London. So it's all going to come back to what is the local deal that can be struck on welfare reform. As we know, the DUP said, we've had a deal with Sinn Féin twice. They have not implemented that. Sinn Féin, of course, say, well, we didn't get the deal we thought we got, so we're not going to implement it. But it's all going to come back to that negotiation.
I dare say people will fall asleep when they hear in the news, you know, there's a vote on a bill in the Assembly it is mind-bogglingly sleepy stuff when you hear about that. And yet Tuesday, this vote on that bill in the Assembly is a vote that could affect every citizen in Northern Ireland.
And the paper you have certainly ratchets up the pressure on the politicians, for all of them, to explain exactly what their positions are and what they're going to do and how they're going to deal with this situation.
OK, John, thank you very much. That's our economics and business editor, John Campbell.